Welcome, everybody, to another episode of On the Range Podcast with Warhog Tactical and Kelly Fence. I am Mark Kelly, and as always, with me is Rick Hogg from Warhog Tactical. How's it going today, buddy?
Man, Mark, it is going great. Been a while since we've done a live episode. Super excited about this one. Here's the thing. I want to thank the viewers, listeners out there for giving us your most precious commodity, your time to tune in. Let's go ahead and bring in our guest. I'll do a quick intro, and then we'll get the show started.
Super excited about this one.
Yeah, buddy. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got Tony Cowden here. So I'm going to give Tony a slight little intro. Not only is he a fellow Special Forces Green Beret, he is also running for the 4th Congressional District here in North Carolina. So we're looking for people to tune in with questions, specifically from my North Carolinians, get that insight. And then here's the thing, man. If you listen to Tony, listen to what he's putting out. It is solid, good stuff, not like your regular politics stuff. Something Tony's done that I haven't seen a lot of politicians do is, man, he's got buy-in from his wife. So especially from the military side, that is a huge thing. So utmost respect for that. And then here's the last but not least thing, Tony. I got to tell you this. My hat's off to you, brother. You donated to the In Honor of Duco Project, which was absolutely huge. I know you're trying to fundraise yourself. That speaks volumes. So from me to you, just want to say thank you. But ladies and gentlemen, Tony Cowden, thank you for your service, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, man. It's huge. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, it's funny, man. You know, clearly we have damn near a kennel full worth of hounds and mutts around here, you know, and working with you guys over the years. And Lord knows I've had dogs, you know, like no shit, save my team's life, you know, and seen them give their own, you know, to protect us, man. So you guys, the dogs and the dog handlers, it's huge. And, you know, just, you know, being home and stuff, well, you know, none of my dogs are like licensed or certified, you know, service dogs, you know, they really do, you know, they make me laugh, and probably harder than any other person ever has, right? Other person, as if my dogs are people. But
they're family members without a doubt. So
Do you know Doc T, Travis Hall from the 5th group?
Sidebar note, we donated to his organization as well, so part of the In Honor of Duco project. Trying to help him out and all the great stuff that he does.
That it is such a big deal. You know, he and I both are in 20th group, work on the ASD together, Safalk and all that stuff. And, you know, he's always brings his dog down. And oddly enough, you know, Doc T has been helping me on the breacher side classes. So, you know, we get to have the dogs that he brings down, you know, in the breacher cell, breacher bay. And so anyway, that makes our side of the house way cooler. Now all of a sudden everybody wants to be a breacher.
Yeah, that's it, man. Come hang out with the dogs. But Mark.
No, I was gonna say I was super glad that you could do this. I know you're busy. I know you got a million things going on. You had your business going, you got a huge following on social media. And for those of you who don't know that Tony's got a lot of great instruction on there, but the common sense reaction to current events and things like that have been there. And it's not surprising that you're running for the House of Representatives. I could see that coming. I didn't know that you would take that leap, but what brought you to the point where you thought, I'm going for this?
Oh, man. You know, it really just boiled down to just being fed up. I mean, you know, I think we're all fed up. You know, so I guess, you know, talking to a really good friend of mine, Lario Pantano, he was a Marine Corps lieutenant who was charged with murder and the whole mess in Fallujah. He ran for Congress in 2010 and 12 in District 7, New Hanover County. And that's how I met him. I was living in Wilmington, New Hanover County. And he and I were, he came by to visit, hadn't seen him in a couple of years. He came by to visit on Easter Day. And we had to talk, and he was like, I asked him, I was like, you know, man, you know, what are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do? And it led to, you know, well, maybe I should run for Congress. And he turned to me and he was like, absolutely. If there's ever a time. And that kind of was like, okay, well, that kind of planted the seed. And that was, like I said, on Easter Day. So that's been how many ever months ago. And, you know, of course, the next conversation had to be with Melissa. And that conversation probably lasted a week. We talked about it, decided to talk about it more later. And ultimately, she was like, let's do it, you know. And, of course, I absolutely had to have her support. And because clearly we're getting ready to, I mean, change our lives. I mean, this is some life-changing stuff, right? I'm already a busy person, right? People always say, hey, you're busy. You know, like, Mark, you're like, hey, I know you're busy. Thanks for having me. No, man, I'm a busy person. I stay busy. Even when I have nothing to do, I'll go find something to do. I've always got something going on. I've always been that way. But this is a whole different level of you know, participation. And Melissa, she's a lot more of a private person than I am. Like, I put a lot of stuff out there on social media, and she posts, man, but you never really get to know her. So she posts pictures, not a lot of videos. You know, she's a dentist. And there's really not a lot of reason for her to have a social media presence, especially on Instagram. That's like, you know, more nationwide and stuff like that. So anyway, we chatted and it was like, okay, let's do this. And we started planning and assessing, right? Let's do this. The initial was, okay, let's assess it and see if this is a viable thing in the first place. You know, because if we're going to do it, do we have an actual chance of winning? And do we have an actual chance of helping correct this very downward trajectory that we're on? And when we vetted those two with a yes, that's when the decision was made. And that was probably like legit in August, September timeframe. And that's when we really started planning, started putting the team together and launched it, man. Wow. So, you know, that was the ultimate thing. Can we potentially, and I say this with some reserve, can we make a difference? Because the more I get involved and the more I see things, that I'm like, wow, this what we're looking at as far as DC and the swamp, this isn't new. We're talking generations upon generations of legacy corruption. And that's all we can call it at this point. And some of it's so criminal and they just cover it up. You got, you know, Republicans versus Democrat. At this point, I'm like, that's all just a bunch of horseshit. It's just horseshit. You know, it's there are two wings on the same bird. So if I think we could actually maybe, you know, flatten this trajectory a little bit, I wouldn't bother, man. I got a pretty good life, right? Like, I really do. We were looking at moving to Idaho and you know, continuing our lives. So doing this is quite the quite the change in direction of what we originally planned on doing with the rest of our lives.
Dramatic Tony, fashion quick. Too, man. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
Very dramatic fashion. Go ahead, Rick. Sorry about it.
So no, Tony. So can you go over, I know right now for those of you, you know, viewers, listeners out there that aren't from North Carolina, probably have no idea, but we are basically in a congressional districting lawsuit going on right now. And I know you're looking to run for the fourth. Where it's currently at, we don't know, because I think the verdict has to be done by the 11th, if I remember correctly. And then you'll kind of know. But what counties do those encompass within the state?
So, you know, real quick history on that. North Carolina gained a seat in the House because we gained population. So they redid the census. So everything's a little cramped for time. So the state legislature, which is predominantly Republican, they redistricted. And so, of course, the Democrats see the new districts as unfavorable to them. So they automatically launched a lawsuit. Had it been the other way around, the Republicans probably would have launched a lawsuit as well, right? It's just part of the game that we play, right? And at this point, calling politics a game is kindness, to say the least, because it's just a mess, man. So yeah, they redistricted. Now we got the lawsuit. January 11 comes. They should most likely, the district should likely stay the same or very similar. It could go a couple of different ways. The courts could hand it back to the legislators. They try again, and then it'll be something they're going to have to press pretty quickly. They could just rule it. Okay, cool. We're going to stay with it. Worst, craziest case scenario, they send it back to the House. to the state house. State house redistricts slightly, goes back to court, and then the courts have to decide. We probably don't see that happening just because of time, right? They did move the primary elections from March to May. So we got till May from to sort all this mess out. Most folks are saying they see it being settled on the 11th. So if it is settled and it stays the way it is, we're looking at Sampson County, a little bit of southwestern Wayne County, Johnston County, Harnett County, and Cumberland County as the district. Mm-hmm. We decided that, you know what, while the other potential candidates, some of the other candidates, while they're kind of sitting back and going and waiting, we decided not to wait. There's a couple of potential candidates who are looking at the districts, trying to decide where they want to run. You know, where do they have the best chance of winning? I told my team, I'm like, look, I'm going to run where I live. I'm going to run to represent my neighbors. Because legally speaking, right, you could live in Ashboro and run in the district, you know, in the, you know, the second northeastern North Carolina or whatever. To me, that makes no sense. I want to run in the district I live in, and this is probably going to be the four. So we decided to go ahead for it. If no matter what the district is, wherever my home lands in, then that's the district I'm going to run in. But like I said, most likely the fourth will remain mostly unchanged, and those counties I just named will be my district.
Okay.
You know, that's something you don't hear in politics very often, is the representation part.
Right.
You know, when we send someone up there, we're not saying, hey, man, use your best judgment and I want to hear your opinion. No, we want you to represent us and what we're saying and listen to what we're in. Yeah. We want to see that with your voting. So that's very unique to what you're doing right now. Has the response been positive? Overwhelmingly?
Well, yeah. You know what? You say we, right? So we who have been paying attention, but we, most of us who have not been paying attention the last 20, 30 years of our adult lives, we have just been sending them up there and they've been doing whatever the hell they want. Well, now that we're starting to pay attention, we're saying, hey, wait a minute. We expect you to go up there and represent us. And I, you know, of course, in our community, we're always so, we pay attention, you know, words have meanings. And that's why I've been very adamant that I am not running for Congress, right? I'm running to be a representative. If you look at half the so-called representatives, Instagram pages and all that, or they're, you know, mm-hmm. up for re-election, it's always whoever for Congress.
Right.
Well, look up the word Congress in the dictionary. It means meeting. So you're telling me you're a person of meetings? No, man. I'm going to be a representative. And that's another point. Americans have gotten so used to it. And I'm getting asked a lot about, hey, what are your stances on policies? And we're working on that part of the website to tell you guys where I really do stand. I can sum it up in three things. Because it's less about what I think, feel, or believe, right? My opinions, my thoughts, my beliefs are less important than my potential constituents. Mm-hmm. So any policy, any hot topic that you send my way, I can guarantee you my answer is going to come from three things, three references. Number one, the Constitution, right? That's where Congress gets its legal authorities and limitations, right? That's where the entire federal government is supposed to get its authorities and limitations.
Yeah.
Right? Supposed to. That's a crazy concept. Constitution. Number two, the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. right? It's a pretty good resource for all of us for good versus bad, right? And I say that, you know, I tell people straight up, hey, I'm a Christian. I've always been a Christian. I was raised in the Methodist Church. I've never doubted my faith. I do say that, hey, there's been some times where I haven't been super faithful, right? You know, not a choir boy, right? Not a choir boy here. I was a pretty misbehaved young guy, you know, SF, work hard, play hard type of thing. So definitely not a choir boy here. But the reason why I say the Ten Commandments and not the Bible is the reality is in America, we have folks who aren't just Christians. And every single religion that I've ever looked at has some form of the Ten Commandments. Right? So the Ten Commandments is relatable across all religions. But I'm very straightforward. I am a Christian. Right? Also, I don't push it on people because I'm getting ready to run for office. and separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. The Christian principles and guidelines are solid. They're good. Number three, and probably, but definitely as important as the first two, the constituents. What do the voters, the people who elect me, what do they want and need? And it blows my mind that right now I could go to most any major city in North Carolina and ask 10 people who their representative is. And they don't know.
Yeah.
Right? They don't know. Why don't they know? Because their representatives don't get out and actually talk to them.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it just blows my mind, right? How can you represent the people that you don't, if they don't even know who you are, they don't know how to get a hold of you. I've sent emails, DMs, and texts to my representative. The email, you get some blanket response.
Yep.
Yeah. You know?
But you're hitting the nail on the head, Tony. Here's what I think the problem is, right? So when you kind of look at, let's just use state and federal. So at the state level, we don't have a full-time legislation. Those guys are part-time.
Right.
But we have full-time representatives, you know, up in DC. Let's think about it. They're always in there bickering, getting Zippo done. How much time is there actually to come home, chat with the constituents, or I got it. You're calling up to DC. You're talking to whoever the secretary is. And I know what they're doing. If they're even doing this, they're putting a tally tick next to yay or nay, whatever, you know, happens to be up there. And hopefully I'm hoping at the end of the day, they would count the tick marks and go, hey, the nays say this or the yays say this, or that should be the driving factor.
Right.
But too many times in politics, you know, what blows me away is nobody up there ever says my constituents, right? We get so wrapped around U.S. politics that, well, here's my stance. Here's the deal. Your stance can be this today, but if your constituents all go, no way, dude, we don't like that, why can't people change?
Right.
You should.
Right. Absolutely.
The people are telling me I'm there to represent them. And like I said, Tony, for me to you, I've heard nobody ever mention that. Nobody ever go, I'm the voice of the constituents.
Right. Well, hell, most of your, you know, I'm very straightforward. A lot of people think I'm being too hard on Republicans. All right. Here's why I'm hard on Republicans. The Democrats are a clear and present danger, right? They are in our face. We know they are an adversary, and they're a legit adversary. They are a danger. The leftists, right? Because there's still some good Democrats out there, you know, who are principled good people that aren't crazy.
There was one senator that did a lot of good this last couple months.
Yeah. And he, you know, Manchin, he's jumping up and down that, hey, I represent West Virginia, you know, a lot like his predecessor, Senator Byrd. But, you know, they are still Democrats. And, you know, I'm not faulting the Democrats for where America is today. I am faulting the Republicans who have caved step after step for decades to the Democrats and the far left. They have compromised every step of the way to where and gotten us to where we are right now.
Yeah.
Right. So here's a good example, a very recent example that'll resonate, especially with us and you know, the Cumberland County community. Right. It was touted as a win. It was a big win that they were able to get service members honorable discharges for refusing the vaccine. That's not a win. That's a stupid compromise. The win would have been you fought for them and you kept their careers intact. You take one on the chin and you lose. You go down in the third round, right? All right, we lost it. Sorry, service members. But you know what? When we flip the house in 2022, and that's going to happen, we're going to not only get you your jobs back, you're going to start off at the same rank and we're going to back pay you.
Boom.
Oh, I haven't heard a single one, not even the loudmouth former servicemen and women who serve. Right, who are in Congress right now, not one of them are talking about taking care of our service men and women, young men and women who volunteered to serve just like we did. right? Because we cared about our country. We just destroyed their lives and their careers, and now we've made them no promises about their future. Well, I tell you what, man, I'll do everything I can. If I can get up there, when I get up there, however you want to phrase that, getting those servicemen and women their jobs back. If you refuse the vaccine, we'll give you your job back and you get back pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm probably the only person that's even brought that up or talked about it. You know, oh, we got honorable discharges. And what?
Have either of those two reached out to you?
Who's that?
I don't know if you want to say their names. We don't have to, but I know.
Can. I don't care. I don't care at this point. I'll say names. I'll talk about people specifically.
How about this? Anybody that are current sitting representatives, have they reached back at you and had anything to ask you or to comment about your run or any of your comments?
I've had one representative contact me and was supportive, was excited to hear I was running, and that's Madison Cawthorn.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, admittedly, I think we may have raised some conflict of interest for Madison because he's supporting Bo Hines, and Bo Hines may very well run against me. But that's fine. That's fine with me, right? Madison sided with, you know, hey, I'm going to support Bo Hines, and that's what democracy is about, right? Bo Hines runs against me. If Bo Hines wins, cool, right? He is now my representative. I'm going to expect him to act like a representative. Right. Yeah. That's the cool thing about democracy, right? Is that the voters are going to choose who they want to go up there. But yeah, as far as any other incumbents reaching out to me, nah. So here's a tradition a lot of people may not know about. So I will tell you, in parallel to my goals of running, I'm also going to try to educate as many people as I can about this process as I learn about it. Fundraising, campaign finance, it is horrible. It's a mess, right? The laws and rules, they favor the elite, right? Speaking of dogs, they favor the elite, right? You know, it's made no sense throughout this process to me that basically whoever can raise the most money, no matter where it comes from, is considered the best candidate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't make them right candidate.
No.
It just means that they had deep pocket friends. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, hey, why don't we just, you know what, for congressional races and Senate races, why don't we just cap it at $500,000? Individual donations only, no corporate donations, no PAC, no nothing. Let's get rid of all of that.
Yeah.
And then now it's even. Now it's an even playing field. Because let's face it, man, if some other candidate comes in and they're already super wealthy, they may be able to donate, you know, $1 million to themselves or $2 million themselves and just buy all the ads. And now you got your recognition. That's how it works, right? It's kind of a popularity contest, you know? Mm-hmm. So that needs to be fixed. But here's another weird tradition, maybe you should call it, or we could call it. Incumbents rarely endorse or openly support primaries, candidates in the primaries, right? So there are special operations veterans in Congress as we speak. You would think they would openly jump right out and say, hey, we're going to support Tony Cowden or Jay Collins or Dan Anderson or Joe Kent. Nothing. They won't even talk to us.
And why is that?
I think it's that they're you know what? I'll cut to the chase. They're fucking pussies.
All right.
Because they don't want to associate with a potential loser in the primaries and blemish their own potential careers. Well, here's why I don't give a shit. And excuse my language, right? I'm starting to get aggravated. I'm still working. I'm still working on my refinement. Right.
Yeah. All right.
But I've told numerous people, I've already started talking to some pretty awesome folks about running in 2024. Right. I'm already starting to groom that next bunch, even though I haven't even won yet. But I've promised them, I was like, I will break that stupid tradition and openly support you. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to take. I don't care. And the reason I don't care about, if you elect me, right? If they elect me, if the fourth district elects me, I'm not going to care about my future career because I'm already promising you I will only do 4 or 5 terms tops. All right. I'm going to instill a term limit on myself. I'm going to go to DC, try to fix some stuff, and then I'm going to come home and go back to my life, which is pretty darn good. And then I'm going to move out west, and I'm going to be able to pay, you know, resident prices for elk tags.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, right? These behaviors out of our current representatives, these incumbents, it's all predicated on them getting reelected. It's like all right. they care about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our forefathers, as wise as they clearly were, what an amazing bunch of people. I say that the one thing they never foresaw was America's luxuries and the greed that comes out of that type of luxurious living. And that's what we have, man. We got a bunch of incumbents who all they care about is getting reelected. I don't care about getting reelected.
Yeah.
Right.
You see, Tony,
if I'm not doing my job and I don't get reelected, hey, fair enough. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
But here's the $1 million question, right? Why do all these cats want to get reelected? Why do they not want to put term limits on? Right. So Uncle Sugar tells me, hey, man, you've got to get out of the Army at a certain point. But these career politicians can stay up there. And then I scratch my head and do simple math and go, hey, you're at $150, you know, a year paycheck. All right. You got to live. So that's going to cost you some money. How are you rolling out with your umpteen $1 million to the positive side on a job where you should be like breaking even, just living the way you're living?
Right. And that's an excellent question, isn't it?
Yeah. You know,
I wish, because, you know, 150 grand, right? Like, I've had some years where I've made that. I've had years I've made less. I had a couple years I made a little bit more. But I look around at the way I'm living, and I look at some of the mansions that they're living in, and I'm like, man, I'm just not doing math right. I need the calculator that Congress and the Senate uses. I need that calculator.
Yeah.
Let's face it, man. We all know at this point that there's been some insider trading, right? We all know it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I go back. Right. That's clearly a problem. Right. Immigration. Huge problem. Second Amendment issues. Huge problem. The biggest problem in America today is you and me and everyone watching this and everyone else has sat back and allowed them to do the shit that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest problem in America today, because the second we demand more. Right. And what does that mean? People are constantly asking me, what do I mean by that? I'm like, hey, man. Yes, you have to email them. And if they don't respond to you, you vote them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what it's kind of horrible. There's a lot of really crappy Republican incumbents that aren't even being challenged. They're running opposed.
Yeah.
No, man.
For decades.
Oppose them. It's time to get rid of them.
Yeah.
You know,
and,
I mean,
when you were talking about your Marine Corps friend who ran and didn't get the seat.
Right.
And he said, yeah, now's the perfect time. Was that because during your conversations, you realized that this wave was coming, like what we saw with old dude up there in New Jersey who got the seat, you know, with a $1,200 budget, and the young kid in the school district in Virginia who won and beat the incumbent? Was it that kind of trend that you saw coming, or did you just feel that you were just fed up and you wanted to start representing us?
Yeah, that was definitely part of it. The realization that America is becoming more and more fed up. It was about that time that people were getting really fed up with the whole mandates on children. You know, I feel like that's the number one thing that has opened the eyes of the average conservative, principled, good, hardworking American man and woman is that you started messing with their children.
Yeah.
Yep. The math mandates, the critical race theory, and all that crap. You know, it was one thing when they were pressing a socialist agenda in college. The average, you know, good, hardworking, conservative, you know, parents, they say, well, you know what? He or she, my kid, is now an adult. They're going to go to college and they're going to sort it out for themselves, because that's probably how the parents were raised, you know, kind of like I was. My dad's teaching style was figure it out. Right. And you got till I get home to figure it out. Right? And that's how a lot of good American parents raise their kids. They teach them to be independent and to think for themselves. So you go to college, sort it out. But the second they started messing with elementary kids and junior high school kids and you know, the middle school kids, ooh, right? That opened the hardworking, principled American conservative eyes, man, it opened their eyes and they're like, okay, we're not doing this. Now people are ready to get involved. So it was about that time that Ilario and I were having that conversation. And it was like, yeah, this is it, right? People are truly starting to get fed up. So that was a big part of it for sure.
Yeah. And then Tony, what was your choice to go representative versus Senate? You know, I mean, obviously time is one, but if you had to sit there and take a step.
No, it's way simpler than that. It's more fundamental, more principle based.
Okay.
Our founding fathers fully intended the Senate to be the elite. Okay. Right. It was modeled after the Brits, which was modeled after the Roman Empire. The Senate was supposed to be the elites, right? You were supposed to be better educated, you know, lawyers, doctors, whatever, right? And the representatives were supposed to be like the House of Commons, the House of the common person, mm-hmm. right? And this is all very, very easy to research. All we have to do is read what our founding fathers wrote. They wrote everything down. I don't know how they had so much time writing with a damn feather and some ink. It's not like they were dictating into their phone. Them dudes wrote so much stuff.
Yeah.
And it's amazed me that because of this, I started reading and realizing, like, holy crap, like so much of stuff I thought about our history and the Constitution and why it was written the way it was. Mm-hmm. I'm just amazed. I'm like, holy crap, these dudes were way more smart than I ever thought. And I thought they were brilliant since I was a kid. So yeah. The House of Representatives is supposed to be a representative of the common folk, right? So that's why I chose it, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I chose it. And you know, it blows my mind because, like, we across the nation, you have former or current representatives or former representatives run for Senate. I'm like, whoa. How is the House of Representatives a stair step to the Senate? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
More so, there are just over 170 lawyers in the House of Representatives as we speak. Get out of here. No.
Yeah.
You know what we need in the House of Representatives? Farmers, small business people. Former military, enlisted. We could say some enlisted folks, right? I personally have about had enough of officers, not my career. Because you guys know as well as I do, right? You know, how often we hear, well, he's a good officer. Mm-hmm. You actually have to make a distinction that alpha is a good officer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right? Like, because why? Because from the time they start ROTC or go to West Point, they are already indoctrinated to care about one thing, and that's their damn careers. Mm-hmm. They become politicians by the time they're a captain, some of them before that.
Yep.
So we need some common folk. And dude, I am a commoner. And I remember the single wide trailer that I was raised in. You know, mm-hmm. I watched my father start a business. He was in the seafood business. I grew up in North Carolina. I grew up over on the other side of New Bern in Pamlico County. One of the most rural counties in this state. And so he got in the seafood business and he basically owned the docks, right? Boats bring it to the docks. He processes it, packages it, ships it to restaurants. And I watched him build that business. I participated. I always joke that, you know, my dad had me because he needed help. He needed labor.
You know what I mean? That's right? why they had the, you know, 9, 10, 11 kids.
Well, he had three, but the princesses that, you know, are on either side of me, my older sister and my young sister. Yeah. And I use the term princesses because I love them to death. They're amazing women who have both been very successful. And I will tell you, man, where I come from in Pamlico County, there is a very much a cycle of not leaving there. Not that staying there is a bad thing, but a lot of folks don't go to college. They don't leave there and go do anything except for exactly what their parents did. And that's a good thing. And that's what I'm representing, right?
Yeah.
My sisters are great people. They're both a little more left than I am. We try to stay not talking politics because that usually winds up not so good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's got to be an interesting dynamic though now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are they supporting? I'm sure they're supporting you.
You know what? I need to look up and see if they donated. Right? That's a good question.
Let's not get out of hand financially, you know.
Right. So I, you know what, they love me enough to support me in any endeavor, whether or not they would donate or contribute to my campaign or even vote for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you know, my younger sister is a social worker, and she helps so many people. She is a constant foster of dogs. Like right now, she probably has like 6 dogs in her house in Raleigh, North Carolina. God bless her. You know, yes, she's awesome. Yeah. She, you know, the fact that she loves so much, right? She's so capable of loving like that. That you know, that makes me want to love her, and I do love her. My older sister is a, you can Google her. She's a very much a world renowned pediatric endocrinologist, and she's run research that has helped cure conditions. An amazing, amazing woman. But she spent probably the last, I mean, almost 20 years living in Massachusetts. So yeah, she's a little more liberal, right? You know,
they give you awards for that, don't they? Don't you get awards for living there that long?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, she lives a very much a different lifestyle than I do. You know, she's kind of, she has changed classes, right? She's probably not as much as a commoner anymore. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but right, if she was to run for office, she should run for Senate. That's the way the forefathers intended it. So that is why I chose, to answer your question, that is why I chose the House over the Senate.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
So Tony, you brought up as far as donations, if people want to donate, going to the website, is that the best place? What's kind of the best way?
That is really the only place aside from writing a handwritten check. You know, like I was talking about, you know, trying to educate folks. Yeah, tonycowden.com, which that is the weirdest thing, right? I have a website with my name in it. That is the weirdest thing for.
That's when you know you've made it, right?
That's when you know, right, that you're having to figure out this whole quite professional thing for the first time, right? Like, on the website, you'll see me in uniform. Like, I had friends of mine that, who didn't even know I was still in 20th group, you know?
Yeah.
Much less that, you know, I'm in uniform and stuff. Yeah, I had to get a haircut and shave before those pictures. also, right, those pictures do not imply any endorsement from the Department of Defense or the Alabama National Guard. I'm a National Guard soldier. If you want to look at Hatch Act, be sure to look up paragraph 4.3. It covers National Guard soldiers. There's my disclaimer. So anyway, I've got no DOD endorsement. I don't think I'm going to get one either. Because you want to talk about who I'm really mad at? That brass, bro. Brass. You know, we've got cowards and spineless people running that military, and it's some horrible mess. As far as donating go, the easiest way is to go right on the website. Like I said, it is weird having a website with just my name in it. But, you know, because I did, you know, it's funny. I challenged my consultants, right? My consultants are really good people who I no doubt believe in what I'm doing. It's the only reason they teamed up with me in the first place. And I was like, wait a minute. Can't we at least make like Tony for NC or, you know, Tony Cowden? And it's like, you need it to have your name because Google and search engine optimization and blah, blah. And I was like, are you sure? And they're like, yes. I said, Roger that, because they're the experts. You know the deal, right? Like, if you're not the expert in the room, you got to pay attention to those, you know, whoever you brought in, those enablers, right? So I have to pay attention to them. And so far, you know, nothing but really good things. But yeah, if you do donate, and I've told people this, right? I talked about this on a post I put out last night. Man, there's not been a lot of campaigns ever that have raised $130,000 in their first 2 weeks of announcing. And that was another tradition I already broke. You got to have good quarters, right? You know, looked at as a viable candidate from whether it's donors or the establishment, you know, the Republican Party. And so I got a lot of advice. You should wait till January 1st, the next quarter. You don't want to risk having a bad quarter. And I was like, you know what? That's the same old, same old. I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. Challenge accepted. I was like, what do we need? They were like, well, you need $100,000 in the first month to be a viable candidate. And I was like, so we got 2 weeks? You know, I was like, you know what? I trust the folks that follow me on Instagram and Facebook. I trust them that they're going to support us above and beyond that $100,000. And sure enough, holy crap, 1,200 plus individual donors, $5, $10, $50 was $50 and $100 were the two most contributed amounts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had some max donors. Max donor, an individual can donate, and only individuals can donate to that campaign. I'll try to explain how the whole corporate thing works, and we'll segue into that. And it's disgusting. And I say that all while I'm having to play this game. I'm trying to get PAC support and corporate support. But when I get there, I'm going to try to get rid of some of that mess. Mm-hmm. All of it, actually. So individuals can donate up to $2,900. A household, a married couple, can donate $5,800. Two times 29, right? And so we had a few of those. And that was awesome, right? That was really, really awesome. Some of them were guys I used to serve with and stuff, you know, who have started their own businesses or are contractors or whatever. And they really shelled out. I was like, holy crap, Bo. But you know, you're a former enlisted E5 Ranger. And you just gave me almost $3,000, $2,900 max contribution. Holy crap, bro. And they were like, you're worth it. It's worth it. Thank you for doing it. And some of them even came back with, huh, well, if you can do it, maybe I can do it. I was like, 2024 and I'll support you.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, that's the way the whole individual thing works. So, you know, like I said, $50 and $100 to the average American donating to our campaign, man, that's a lot of money.
Oh yeah. You know?
That's a lot of money. That's four days of food for me. You know, 3 to 4 days. It's going to be how hard I'm working out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have children. I don't know how many diapers that buys, but I can only assume it's quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much food it pays for people's kids or books or backpacks or new clothes for kids, right? Because kids got to have new clothes, what, every 6 months, a year? They're growing so fast, right?
Oh, yeah.
So $50 and $100. And that's a lot of money. It's not a lot of money to the establishment. They care about those max donors and they care about the corporate stuff. And I do have to care about that. It's just part of the necessary evil. But I care more about the donor than I do the donation.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I heard in your voice the humbleness about having your name on a website.
It's weird.
Tell us what that felt like when you generated that much money from people that I'm probably thinking that majority of them are ones that you're going to be representing. How'd that make you feel?
Man, I still don't even know how to explain it.
Right.
So I've spent my entire life. I've only asked for money a couple of times for a couple of people throughout my life. You know, in a tight spot here, in a tight spot there type of thing. You know, one time I was waiting for the government to pay me for a contract and I needed some equipment for the gym and Melissa gave it to me. You know, we bought some new equipment for the gym and I paid her back, you know, a few weeks later when the government finally got around to paying me. Now that stuff works. Mm-hmm. So asking people for money is a foreign thing for me. And, you know, talking with my consultants, friends, Melissa, they all said the same thing. They're like, you're not asking for yourself, man. You're asking for an investment in our country's future. And that's what people see you as. So that hit me just as hard, if not harder, than the amount of money people were giving, right? Like for someone to look at me and say, you are an investment in our country's future. I'm like, whoa. Because let's face it, man, I've always just been the knuckle dragger on the ground somewhere in some desert shithole, just doing work, just trying to do a good job.
Tony, I'm gonna pause you, brother, right? Because here's the thing, man. When you speak to the people, right? You speak, hey, man, I'm using the Constitution, the Ten Commandments, and I'm looking at my constituents. Do you know how many people are not saying that? So just your simple message right there, resonates with people. And it's like, man, what can we do to help? How can we promote? Yeah. You know, I got it, well, you know.
I'm telling people straight up, hey, look, if I get there and after one term, I'm like, hey, guys, I'm going to tell you honestly, I can't fix this. It's screwed. It's so messed up that I can't do this. Man, I don't know. Will I resign? Will I try harder? I'm just going to be honest with people. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking about the corruption and levels of it. And someone showed me today that one of the biggest contributors to Bain Capital, the firm that Mitt Romney runs or started, was funded by Maxwell, as in the father of this Maxwell, who's just been on the news.
Wow.
The levels of corruption here, I am actually very concerned that I'm not going to be able to do but so much. That I'm concerned that I'm going to be derailed, that this entire campaign will be derailed because the establishment will hear what I'm saying and be like, ain't no way we're letting him up there. Mm-hmm. Right? There's no way. Right? There's no way we're going to let this dude who is saying he's going to expose our corruption and horseshit, they won't let me do it. So, you know, of course, there's always a concern, and this might sound like a joke. It's a little bit of a joke that, you know, I get on Hillary's radar. And next thing you know, poor veteran with PTSD. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I promise you this. Tony Cowden did not kill himself. Right? You know, I don't care. I tell people all the time, right? You know, and that might sound like a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, but there's a lot of folks out there who have been like, hey, man, you are ruffling feathers already. Mm-hmm. Like, you are getting attention already. And I'm like, okay, all right. Of course, that makes me go straight into protector mode. I start worrying about Melissa, you know, things like that. Man, it's some spooky stuff. It is some spooky stuff, man. And you guys know where some of the things we've all participated in and done for this government, you know?
Yeah.
Our government's capable of some spooky shit.
The fact that you're affecting people and ruffling feathers, that is change. You know, those type of comments, that speaking the truth. And I'm sure there's going to be those moments where you're like, man, I just don't know if I can really change anything, but I have full confidence. And the folks that have contributed have full confidence that you're going to find a way.
Here's the way. Here's the only way it's going to happen is if the American people elect myself, Jay Collins, Dan Anderson, Joe Kent, Eli Crane, Mojo Luttrell, all of these military guys, and, you know, holy crap, there's like, I don't know, there's almost 30 veterans running. If we can get half of those elected, 15 out of the 30, and don't quote me on that 30, right? It could be more. We just had a 10th group guy announced yesterday. So there's like 12 or 13 special operations guys. And again, don't quote me on these numbers. So if we can get those folks elected, you're talking about what can be called a caucus. Jay Collins, you know, he's running in Florida's 14th. You know, he's a 7th group guy, unit guy. I don't know if either one of you guys know him. Mm-hmm. You know, great dude, amputee, right? Awesome dude. So he's running in the 14th against one of Pelosi's henchmen. So if we can get those folks, that's a caucus. That's a group of people that everyone else has to run things by. That's how we do this. That is how we do this. You know, Jay and I were joking that if the Democrats have the squad, if we can get us elected, we'll have a JTF.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. Right? Like, I would like nothing more than when 15 of us get elected, that they refer to us as the JTF, because that's what we'll be, man. You know, and let's face it, man, there are 5 Navy SEALs running for Congress, right? Anytime you get 5 Navy SEALs together, man, that's a party. Mm-hmm. Something's going to get broken. You know what I mean? No, you know, like I said, I try to tell people about all these different candidates running, right? Eli Crane out in Arizona, Jay down in Florida, Dan Anderson in Virginia, and I'm going to leave a bunch of people out. There's Carlos Spalding down in in Florida, another veteran, awesome, awesome woman. Joe Kent, warrant officer up in Washington. His wife was Shan Kent. She was KIA in Syria, if you remember that, right?
Yep.
So that, that's her husband running up there. Wow. Zeke up in Montana, he's a former DEB commander. So he's an officer, however, comma. He was also Secretary of the Interior under Trump.
Oh.
And he did an amazing job.
Yes.
So, and I'm leaving some guys out for sure. Like I said, Mojo Latrell. That's, crap. What's the other Latrell's name?
Marcus.
There we go. Crap. Sorry. Disrespect Marcus. Little TBI brain fart there.
It happens.
It's his twin brother and he's running down in Texas. Mm-hmm. So yeah, man, there is a bunch of amazing folks running. Yeah. And that's what it's going to take is electing this dude. So it means how do you get someone elected? You have to contribute to them.
Right.
All those dudes I just mentioned, I've given them money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And people think that $5, they don't, that doesn't matter. Yeah, man. Look at what we just did.
But Tony, I'm going to say something, right? Cause from the fundraising side that I'm doing, you know what? $5 matter because I've gotten, texts and emails from people. Hey man, this is all I got. And I hate to say this and I'm not trying to side rail the conversation from, you to me, but I think it's important people understand. I don't care if you were the top giving guy, thank you for it. But man, when that guy says, this is all I have,
all I got
mm-hmm. to me. And I say this not in a bad way, but to me, that means so much more because that dude is scraping everything he's got to give.
I had a couple of different folks DM me that almost brought me to tears, right? Mm-hmm. Guys and gals who had just been forced out of the military, E4s, E3s. Well, we already know they don't make jack as it is. And they're giving me $10 at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And they're also telling me, like, please help me. This is all I have. I'm skipping dinner tonight to donate to you. Please don't let me down. And I'm like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. Bro, you want to talk about why am I going to the gym? Why do I say I'm training for freaking House of Representatives? Because the load that feels like is huge. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And my response to those young men and women has been the same. I promise you, I will not waste your money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all I can do is promise you I will not waste my money, your money.
And that's all you can ask for, right? Is like, hey, man, you've got your team that's giving you your advice, the best way to use those dollars, mm-hmm. and I got it. It's a major media type deal. I mean, I hate to say it. It's marketing, right? It's trying to get the word out there in those spots and everything else. And I would just tell you this, Tony, the other veterans you're talking to that's out there running, dude, they've always got a seat here at On the Range Podcast, man.
Yeah.
Love to have them on, help spread the message.
Yeah.
Because here's the bottom line. I mean, you've brought up so many points and I hope the viewers, listeners are picking all this stuff up just to listen to the way you talk, right? Just to sit there and go, hey man, I want to represent my constituents, my voters. What a novel concept. I just wish the, if you want to say the organization would listen to that and do the same thing. Yeah. But it's just, let's get some change going in 2022, man. Let's flip this thing around
and again, it has to be all of us getting involved. Mm-hmm. It means going down to your local board of election, your county board of elections. They're the folks who are going to oversee the polls. Volunteer for a candidate's campaign. I'm going to need volunteers. I'm going to be asking for them as soon as the districts are set. I'm going to need people to help me put signs out. I'm going to need people to just hand out a flyer with my name and address on it. Because this is all I'm not asking a single person to fundraise for me. I don't want anyone out there to ask another person to give me money. What I'm asking folks is tell them about my website. Tell them about my Instagram and Facebook. Let them go over there and look at me. and then let them decide if they want to donate to me. I don't want anyone to ask another human being to give me money. What I'm asking folks to do is say, hey, look at this dude. Check out his website. And if I'm for them, I'm the right person for them, then let them make that decision on their own to donate to me. But I am going to need volunteers to just go stick signs in the ground, to, you know, hand out flyers, to, you know, repost anything and everything I post on the internet. Just repost it. Share it with your followers. Send them my way. Let them look at me and decide if I'm right for them. You know?
Yeah.
It's force multiplier stuff, right? I need force multipliers.
Yeah. That's all it is. And you know, doing a repost costs you nothing.
Nothing.
You know?
Nothing.
2 seconds of your time.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine on Instagram. He's Knockout Lights, Mike. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, he's like, dude, I pull up my Instagram and all I see is you now. You know? And I'm like, and he's in California. And he was, you know, there were so many guys like you guys who shared my stuff, you know, and influencers or whatever we want to be called.
Yeah. People.
But before the election, I hit up a couple of guys and was like, hey, man, you know, I mean, I really want you to help me share this. And everybody was like, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of, and this is, I guess this is a separate conversation probably. You know, there was a handful of so-called influencers, so-called wannabe leaders in the 2A community who blew me off. And I understand maybe not wanting to associate your business with politics. But I also will say that if you're not willing to get involved right now, you are part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to support me for whatever reason, hey, I get it, right? I'm not for everybody, you know? For the most part, I would give you the shirt off my back. But if you cross me, I can be, mm-hmm. you know, for lack of better terms, an asshole. But ultimately, sometimes we have to set that type of stuff aside and we have to be willing to put, like, I don't care about my business being destroyed because I'm running for office. I can get a job slinging a hammer. I'm pretty good at construction. I grew up doing it. I get a job at Best Buy. Hell, if you look at the job market right now, hell, Chick-fil-A is paying $20 an hour. Right. Yeah. And I mean, hell, I'm sure you get some free chicken nuggets and the things are delicious. I can get a job. Right. I can get a job. I can go guard bum if I have to. Right. You know, so I don't care about my business being ruined because of this, because our country depends on it and our businesses revolve around that Second Amendment. Right. So if they take away the Second Amendment, our businesses are done anyway. Mm-hmm. So if the Second Amendment type businesses don't want to get involved out there, man, they're part of the problem. And that's just how it is.
No. You know,
and I'm not like either you're with me or against me, right? Again, if you don't want to support me, cool. But there are so many other amazing candidates out there to go help and get behind. You know, we got to get involved. We got to get involved. And if you're not doing anything illegal, the ATF can't screw you down so much anyway. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, brother.
Well, and that's the whole thing, Tony, right? Is, and we talk about it a lot here on the show. So we have all these quote unquote gun laws, but what are they really getting done? Nothing. Chicago has more gun laws than you can shake a stick. Yeah. Still the deadliest city in the country, right? Doing nothing.
One of the worst in the world, right here in America. Yeah.
So why wouldn't you back those pro 2A candidates? You know, to me, it's a no-brainer. So to sit there and go, oh, I'm afraid. Okay. You know what? They run hand in hand. If you love the Second Amendment, which...
The years with the highest number of gun sales in America was 2020 and 2021.
Yes.
There are so many new gun owners in America, and many of them are right on the middle, right? They're still kind of Democrats, but they're paying attention now.
Oh, yeah.
Their eyes have been opened as well. They're right for the taking. They are potential recruits, right? If we're going to talk about recruiting, that's what we're doing here. You want to, you know, it's a campaign, right? A PSYOPs campaign, a subversion campaign. The country's been subverted by the communists and the far left over the last 80, 90 years. Mm-hmm. We have an excellent playbook. You know, a lot of people say this. This is another good point, right? A lot of people say this. They say that the system is broken. It doesn't work. And I'm like, that is not true. You want to see the system work? Look at what the Democrats have accomplished. Mm-hmm. They've gotten everything they've wanted. Everything they've ever asked for. And at this point, I think they're just making up shit to ask for. The Democrats have achieved it.
That's a great
the
point.
System still works. The reason it a lot of conservatives say it don't work is because we're not getting what we want because we're not active and we're not participating. So the system still does work. It just hasn't been working for us. So
the key point, Tony, is people need to get out there. They need to get out and vote. You know, I mean, it's like, let's use North Carolina as a prime example. You know, we try to pass legislation, and I'm talking here at the state level.
Yeah.
All right. To actually remove some Jim Crow laws off the books that had to do with 2A, and the governor vetoed it. I'm like, you've lost.
Let's face it, man. Roy Cooper is a turd who needs to go. Yeah. Right? He has to go. How he won the governor's seat, but Trump won the state, that doesn't even make any sense to me.
It's questionable.
Because what is the reply to you need to go? When you tell folks these days, these young, disenfranchised, pissed off, right-leaning young kids, especially young men, when you tell them they have to go vote, they say, oh, yeah, because voting works. Clearly, voting doesn't work. They'll be like, yeah, what are we going to do? Vote harder?
Yeah.
And I say to them, it's not just voting. Volunteer at the polls, right? Make sure the polls, hold the polls accountable. Make sure that whatever happened in this last election doesn't ever happen again. You can go volunteer at the polls and just sit there and watch. You can help count ballots.
Yeah.
So between that and volunteering for, you know, on campaigns, man, that's huge. You know, a very good friend of mine is running for Pender County Sheriff, a guy named Mike Sword Jr. Mike is an amazing human being, an amazing police officer who's always treated even the thuggest of thugs fairly. Mm-hmm. Right. He's a street cop. He's a community officer. And he spent most of his life being a narcotics officer. He wants to run for sheriff. He is running for sheriff, Pender County. And he's the sheriff we all want. But you know what? The establishment is fighting so hard against him. And so Mike needs volunteers. And let's face it, right? A sheriff is one heck of an influencing politician.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And the cool thing is Mike's not a politician. Like, imagine me running for sheriff. That's Mike Sword, right? He's just an awesome dude. He's the type of sheriff that would be out there knocking on doors to serve a warrant himself, not sending a SWAT team. Mike is not a believer in a SWAT team. Mark was a narcotics officer. And as a sergeant, his narcotics troop, strike team, whatever you want to call them, they went and did their own warrants. They didn't do no knocks. They did it. They just knocked on the door. Hey, what's up, man? Here's your handcuffs. Put them on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's that type of guy. So my point is, right, I digress. I'm giving Mike a plug. I've joked, but it's not a joke. If Mike gets elected, I'll go to BLET and I'll go to work with that guy.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing, Tony, right? It's not a shameless plug, right? Because people need to understand, and this is part that we talk about a lot here. You've got to get involved at the lowest level, you know?
Yeah.
So whether it's volunteering at the polls, how many people are actually going to these different meetings that's being held at their local municipalities,
right?
You know, at these commissioner meetings and going, I don't agree with that policy,
or
I disagree. Right. So it's so much.
Yeah,
it's
every so much month. More. Yeah, every month in every county in this district, there is a GOP meeting. There is the men's Republicans meetings. There's the Republican women's meeting. There's the youth or the young Republicans meetings. Go to them. Join those organizations. They are your advocates, right? And I'm going to be going to a lot of these meetings. I've got one tomorrow night in Clayton for the Johnston County GOP, right? Mm-hmm. Join these groups and get involved. That you already have these folks, the structure is there, the network is there, the auxiliary is there. All you have to do is go and join, and then you can go to these meetings and they will tell you how to make a difference. These local level organizations, they're not corrupt. They're pure. They're innocent. They are trying to do the right thing. So get involved, participate, just like the liberals have been doing. And I know it's hard because you have a job, and it's hard because you have children, right? You got to pick them up from daycare. You got to take them to the doctor. You got to take them to ballet. But you know what? We are going to have to figure out how to manage some of that stuff and actually get involved. You know, talking about children, right? Somebody asked me the other day, they said, hey man, how are you going to represent families? You don't know what it's like to be a parent. And I was like, you know what? The reason I'm running is because I don't have kids. And while you go on the weekends to your soccer games and you take care of your children and your family like you're supposed to, I will take my time and go to that shithole called Washington, D.C. and represent you. I don't need to know what it's like to have kids to ask someone with kids what they need and want. I can represent someone. It's just like saying, hey, Tony, you're not a fireman. You don't know what it's like to be a fireman and put out fires. I'm like, you're right, but I can ask you what it's like and then go represent you. Hell, we'd all been better off being firemen, right? Right? They're heroes.
Everybody loves
you see what I'm saying? I don't need to be a police officer or a farmer to represent those folks, right? Mm-hmm. I just need to go talk to them and find out what it is they need from me as a representative. I know that sounds crazy, right? But, you know, my next door neighbor, farmer, grain farmer, blueberry farmer, they have hogs, they have cattle, they do it all. These are folks who go to work at 4:30 in the morning and they don't stop till 10 o'clock at night, right? Mm-hmm. Saw my neighbor, he likes to drive through my property. My road cuts through over to some of his property. And he's a young man. He's 23 years old, doesn't have social media. Does not have social media, right? If you ask him, hey, you know, if you had asked him 3 years ago before I moved here, if he knew who Tony Cowden was, he'd have been like, huh? Who? What's he got to do with my farm? That boy is 23 years old. He gets up at 4:30 in the morning, most mornings, sometimes earlier. And right, when I saw him last night, he was on his way to finishing another job. And I was like, dang, boy, you're putting in hours, aren't you? He's like, yeah, I'll probably work till, you know, close to midnight tonight.
Damn.
I'm like, holy crap. And then this morning, I was up a little after 6 o'clock, went to the store to get some diesel fuel, and I saw him drive by opposite direction of his home. Like, he had already gone that way, and he's already back. 6 o'clock in the morning, and he was working till midnight last night. That's a 23-year-old farmer, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to know what it's like to do his job to go represent him. To help loosen some of these daggone insane regulations that the FDA and USDA put on them, right? That are driving beef prices through the roof, driving hog prices, pork prices through the roof. They can't, right? Like, you know, here's an interesting statistic, right? Everything about farming has gone through the roof as far as their costs, but the cost or the price of corn and beans and grains hasn't really changed much since 1970, right? The early 70s, but their costs are through the roof, right? So they have to produce more to cover it. One combine harvester from John Deere, and don't quote me on this, but they're like $400,000.
Yep.
I mean, these farmers, their costs are insane. So right now, diesel fuel is over a dollar more than it was, you know, a year ago.
Yeah.
Right. And they're consuming thousands of gallons a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was telling me the other day that a silo or storage container of fertilizer that they bought a year ago, they filled this bin up. It cost them $14,000. They just refilled it 9 months later, cost them $40,000.
Holy crap. Wow.
They're all sitting here looking at me going, we don't really know if we can keep being farmers, man. And you're talking about a fifth generation farm, you know? Like, what? They're one of the biggest farms in this area. And they're going, we just don't know how much longer we can do this.
Yeah.
What?
Well, JTank05 said he just donated. He's wishing the best to Tony. So big thanks to JTank05. But, you know, when you're talking, Tony, it's just like all of us, you're speaking for all of us, and you say it so much better than we do. And we're so happy that you're doing this. So I know that all the listeners, you can't see what the viewers are seeing, but we got Tony's website up there. So go check him out at tonycowden.com. Love the name. Glad you went with that. It's so much more recognizable. Everybody's going to know exactly what it is, because there is a lot of people that know who you are on social media. So that was a smart move, but really appreciate you being on the show. And go check out his website and donate. It's got an easy quick donate buttons. Hit those and contribute to his campaign. It's just unbelievable. We're so proud to have you on the show and talk about it, Tony. Really are.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. And you know, I'll provide a list of all those special operations guys and gals who are also running around the nation. I'll send you guys that list, and I'll ping them as well and be like, hey, you know, hit these guys up and see if they won't have you on their podcast.
Absolutely, because they
need help, man. They need help.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried to do what I can for them, you know, to share my following with them. And you know, not that I even have that many followers, right? Like, you know, let's face it, in our world, there are gun style influencer dudes with 500,000 followers.
Yeah.
That's the leverage. Those are the dudes who are actually helping, you know?
It is and it isn't, Tony, right? I'm not a super big, you know, people always get wrapped around the numbers, right?
Right.
So
yeah, for sure.
Are the numbers bots? Are the numbers bot? Are the numbers overseas that have zero influence?
Right.
You know, it's looking at that whole interaction.
That's right.
The engagement. But when you've got loyal people that follow you, loyal people that want to listen to what you're putting out, those to me are worth 10 times more the bang than having these umpteen gazillion. Whoopee ding, you got 100,000 bots. I'm proud of you.
Right.
They do nothing for me.
Yeah, you know? You're right. Yeah, I try to pay attention to the ones, you know, guys like Mike Jones, Grand Thumb. He was huge, helpful. Mm-hmm. He's always... I mean, he sent followers my way over the years just by mentioning me on his YouTube stuff. You know, Mike is just an awesome, nice person, just a good dude. Of course, Glover and those guys at Fieldcraft, and then, you know, the guys at Black Rifle, nothing but helpful. You know, they got real legit followings and stuff.
Sure.
You know, Mike, Knockout Lights. And I'm going to stop even trying to name people before I forget dudes. And but yeah, those were the guys I reached out to, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those dudes and a lot of my followers, you know, the average age of my follower is, you know, 28 to 42 years old. They're adult males for the most part. I am getting some females finally through all of this, you know. And I also think a lot of females actually like the stuff I post about Melissa. Melissa, man, she's just a hell of a role model. She's a role model for me, but. And what an American story in and of herself. But anyway, it's that adult male following that's turning into those engagement, you know, men who want to protect the families, you know, because that's where my following came from, was the shooting stuff, you know. And so now that is being turned into awesome donations, man. And let's face it, right? 1,200 donations, 1,200 individual donors.
Wow.
That's an awesome number. It is insane. However, I've got 60,000+ followers. If every one of my followers gave $10, that'd be 60 grand right there. Right. Mm-hmm. So even still, I haven't leveraged even all of my followers yet.
Yeah.
Right. So lots more to come, man. Lots more to come.
Yeah, buddy. Well, the biggest thing, Tony, I mean, here's the deal. You know, the deal. Let us know what we can do to help you. You know, if we need to get you back on, you know, a final push towards the end or whenever, man, always welcome here. Continue to push your stuff, continue to educate. And here's the bottom line, guys, whether you're in North Carolina or anywhere in the country, get out, make a difference. I'd ask the guys here in North Carolina, you know, stay tuned. I don't know how you're going to put it out as far as needing help and stuff like that, but hey man, you can take a couple hours of your time and let's make some change up there in DC.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll still be putting most of my stuff out on Facebook, Instagram. You know, it's going to be on all of it. You know, I am getting ready to get on Gitter and probably Gab. We're looking at those things, trying to figure that out. But yeah, you know, Instagram is still my primary. As we shift to really focusing on the district itself, you know, Facebook is better at, you know, direct, you know, local stuff, regional stuff. And, but you know what, everything I post on Facebook, I'm going to post on Instagram. So when it comes time to actually asking for help, putting those signs out, you know, coming to meet and greets, whatever, it'll all be right here on social media.
Unbelievable, awesome, buddy. Thank you for doing this. Really appreciate it. And we're there for you. Let us know. And really appreciate you being on the show, Tony.
No, man. Thank you guys for having me. This is how we get it done, right? Yeah, this is how we get it done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Grassroots. So do this. Once we sign off, just hold tight, Tony. We'd like to just chat with you sidebar after this. And
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Right on.
Awesome, thanks, buddy. Guys. Have a good one. Go crush it.
Thanks, everyone.